You want us to open to Luke chapter 24. My beautiful wife and kids were reading part of that this morning. And I want to just look at part of that story. So Luke chapter 24. And the title would be The Resurrection. If you made it to a Good Friday service at the Christian Reformed Church a few days ago, that was beautiful as we kind of read to this point in the story. And now we're going to read about Jesus not just staying in the tomb, but he's actually going to come to life. And so I would start maybe on the very first verse here in chapter 24. It says, on the first day of the week, and I would go on to share the story with you. And probably half the people in this room could also get up here and share the story. You've heard it in Sunday school. You've seen a teaching on it. You've seen the VeggieTales on it. I mean, you kind of get the story. And I want to just pause, though, before we get into that story and just explain a couple things, because I think it's important through I like imagery. I like story. So I want to share some of that with you. And I have kids, so I have Lego. And sometimes I use Lego as an imagery because I think it's important for us to understand. So we're going to have some fun here. Well, I'm going to have some fun. I don't know what you guys are going to do. But anyways, you know, I don't have instructions up in here of what I'm building. But if this was your life in a sense of as you go through life, you're adding experiences, you're adding schooling, you're adding whatever it is that happens in life to it. And sometimes you like adding, you're like, that's a good thing. I want to add that block to my life. That's a good one. And sometimes experiences happen that you're like, oh man, I did not choose that. I didn't want that. I didn't sign up for this. And all these different experiences. So I think about it like in little blocks. So, you know, my son Emmanuel really helped me with this because it was good. He said, we should have one for good and one for bad, you know. And so we didn't have any black ones, but so we got red because we thought red was not very good. Although it is, if you're wearing red, I do apologize. You know, I see a red tie over there. Steven, they're wearing a red shirt over there. We're in trouble. Eh? Okay, so you got these blocks of life, and I don't know about you. In my life, I was thinking about, like, I got a 79 Camaro when I graduated high school, and they gave me a license. I don't know what they were thinking, but anyway, that was a good thing, right? And, I got married, and I got four kids. Oh, that's a good thing, right? And I did 8 years of correspondent studies to hang a diploma on my wall and say that I could be a pastor. So I got a little title there saying I'm a pastor. That's probably a good thing to do, eh? What other kind of good things happen in my life? I actually really like chocolate and cheese. So when I eat those things, my taste buds are happy. So those are all good things. And I'm here with you in Terrace, and you're loving it. And it's a great place. That's a good thing, eh? Amen? Okay. So then in life, too, though, the other things that happen. And so, again, I'm just sharing a bit of my story. You guys all have your own personal kind of stories. So, like, when I was born, I was conceived in the Hyatt Hotel, and my dad left. So, you know, my mom wasn't even married. She actually, we'll be careful of that. We're online here. We'll just leave it at that. So I'm like kind of like a bastard child. I hate to say it. It's just the way it was, and that's just facts. And I don't want that. I didn't choose that. I remember... You guys know about my ankle. All my ankle's messed up. And so I don't like that because I used to ride skateboard a lot and I just went off a big jump and then my ankle rolled and I had a cast and it's always turning black and blue. And lots of times when I walk, it's my lead foot, my good foot. Go to lead with this foot, go down, and then I go down. Like this was brutal. Like I'm only 45, my ankle doesn't even work. So simple things like that. And if you've been around long enough now, you know, thyroid issue. What is that thing? I don't even know what it is, but it's sure complicating my life and not making it very easy and all that kind of stuff and all those kind of things. What else happened in life that wasn't the most enjoyable experience? I was very what they would classify as not very, you know, educated in school. I really struggled to read and write, probably dyslexia or something towards that. In fact, I can't even say that word because I don't even know all those things. And like a failed grade 3. That wasn't a good experience, right? So, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I looked through, as we talked about recently, I had to go to Prince Rupert to visit some friends and because another classmate passed away. Like, again, tons of our class passed away because of decisions and ideas of, oh, those things. Oh, that's not good. You don't want to put your friends in the ground. And so you kind of got this bag here, and you're thinking, there's some good stuff in there, but there sure are some things that are very real in my life. And I can't seem to get free of them. And so what we do in life often is that we take get all those bad things out of there. Let's kind of stand them up. Get them all out of here. We don't want those bad. No, not good. We don't want those. And so we get them. And then we try and look at all the good things in our lives and the bad things. And then we get our eyes, something stressful comes, or this memory of these things. And so we're going through life, you know, and all of a sudden, we fall down because of all these bad things. We've got to get these out of there, we think. Then we get all the good things. Yeah, somebody just said amen over there, a kid, because, you know, we're playing with Lego. That was cool. And so we get all the good things in our lives, and we stack them up, and we're thinking, if we could just have all the good things, if we could just live our lives like this, but realistically in life, good things come and go sometimes. And even if you're doing well, all of a sudden, you fall down. And you're like, what the heck? This is all the good stuff. And so lots of times we try and bury the bad things too, right? We're thinking, that's bad, you know, we don't want it. So we try and like bury it with all this good stuff. And then we realize that we're even more tippy because we're just trying to bury it. We're trying to hide and run away from it. You're like, how do I get free of this thing here? Because I want to walk, I want to live, I want to be free. And so let me just share a couple more thoughts with you, and I'll kind of wrap up this Lego illustration. What we don't realize is that you're designed to not be in control. And the problem is, the more we try and take control, the harder it is for us. Because you were designed to be led and be guided by somebody. And you might think that that's not fair. I want to be in control. There is something that you actually are in control of, and I will share that in just a moment. But what are we in control of, and what is fair? Let me explain this with an idea of who's in control. So if we were to say, we hear this often in the illustration, that, you know, Jesus should be at the wheel, and you should be in the passenger seat. And definitely not in the back seat, because you don't want to be a backseat driver to Jesus. That just doesn't work. You know, you can't pan out like that. So you're supposed to be in the passenger seat, and Jesus is saying to you, do you trust me? Because I'm the one that's supposed to be in control of your life. And you've let me in control of your life, things will go well. And so you're sitting there in the passenger seat, and you're like, what the? This is out of control. And Jesus is at the wheel, and he's like, do you trust me? As he's not looking at the road. He's saying, do you trust me? As he's going towards the cliff. Are you going to trust me? And you're like, Jesus, there's a cliff coming. And so the story that I have for you is that, again, when I was in Whitehorse, it's the only church I was ever part of, so it's all my stories. We were going down, again, to History Maker, and we're going through this blizzard. And it's like a complete whiteout, you know, like those time warp kind of, you know, Star Trek or whatever kind of. And so you can't see the road. High beams, you're like, it makes it worse. And so you're like, you're looking out the side door here, looking at the road. There's this white line on the road. And that's like, you know, okay, white line, yellow line. Okay, if I'm in the white line, then we won't go in the ditch. Perfect. So you're following that. And all of a sudden you realize you're following that white line, and then there's a guardrail that goes this way. And you're thinking, why would there be a guardrail if I'm turning? That doesn't make much sense. And then you realize, oh my gosh, you're on the white line on the other side of the road. You're basically driving in the ditch, and you realize you're like about to go off a cliff. And so the bus does this swerving. The kid's like, what was that? I said, nothing, never mind. Where's the oxygen tank? Because we almost totally like lost it. And Jesus is the same way with us. Sometimes he's driving, he feels like your life is about to go off a cliff, and Jesus is like, do you trust me? You're like, I don't think so. I don't know if I want to. Or there's times in life, you know, that was an extreme experience. There's times in life which I've never experienced very much. For those of us that grew up in the prairies, you can just see for weeks. You just put it into cruise control. You just let go of the wheel. Just go straight. There's no hills. There's no mountain. It's just all good. And it's all like Jesus is just saying, there's a season to just chill out. And you're like, but look at all the things that are going on, Jesus. What do you mean chill out? And so I had a similar experience. I was going up, again, from Whitehorse to Inuvik, Northwest Territories. And so as you're going up there, there's this beautiful Dempster Highway. I got a picture of it in my office. And once you get to Inuvik, then you want to get onto a glare ice highway to get to Tuktoyaktuk. It makes total sense. You just drive down to the river, you get on the river, there's a stop sign, you hang a right, and you go up to Tuktoyaktuk. You're driving up the Mackenzie River, frozen. Then you get to the Arctic Ocean, right-hand signal, driving on the ocean to Tuktoyaktuk. It's just frozen glare ice highway. It's ridiculous. And so we're cruising around with the teenagers. All of a sudden, the wind kicks up, and the van's like, whoa, whoa, and I just put it in neutral. I'm like, oh my gosh, just start praying. We're just doing this. We come to a stop, like actually going the right way. Well, that was a bit dizzy. And I remember the kids going, do it again. And I'm like, I did not plan to do that. That was ridiculous. And so again, when you're in the van, you're in the vehicle with the Lord, and it starts spinning, and you're like, Lord, are we okay? And the Lord's like, do you trust me? And so we have to trust him. And at times, life seems like it's going so fast. I don't know what your schedule looks like. I have to schedule breathing in there. Like, it just gets so busy. And so when the life is going fast, do you trust him as well in those moments? When I grew up, I have a different story, and it's not Whitehorse School. I grew up in Prince Rupert. Diana Lake, we know quite well. So me and my buddies are out there, we're just teenagers, a bunch of hooligans. And you remember like how you would always travel somewhere, like just how many people can we get in this vehicle? And then we'd go to the lake. And so we're all in there, like I can be honest, like there's some people in the trunk. They're just like, it's not that far, right? It's only a few minutes, it doesn't matter, it's all safe. I mean, you got a hooligan teenager behind the wheel, you know, see how fast this car can go. And so we get up to Diana Lake, have a great time. We're out there. I won't tell you the things that happened. And so then we're leaving Diana Lake. And so there's a couple guys in the trunk. And Diana Lake is a dirt road. And so, you know, if you don't understand dirt roads or washboard or all that kind of stuff, they lose control of the car. We're spinning. We end up in the ditch. We open the trunk. These poor two kids. Oh, it was my buddy. I can just remember him. He was just hysterical. He's freaking out. I thought I was going to die, right? Vehicle spinning. It's rolling. And then you open the trunk. And he's, you know, it's dark. It's small. You're bouncing over things. You know, tire irons hitting you in the head and stuff. And can you trust the Lord when it seems completely lunacy? And it doesn't make sense. Lots of times life, you're just like, it just doesn't make sense. Lord, are you crazy? But we have to trust him. I mean, we all survived that, luckily. You know, no one actually died from those experiences. So that's how we have to let somebody else be in control, because we're not designed to be in control of those parts of our lives. Here's the second thing, is that what's fair? The free will of God that he gave to you is the fairest thing that we could have. If we think about, it's as fair as it gets. This is as fair as it can be. It can't be any more fair than that thought. See, I think the greatest spiritual gift that God gave us was heaven. He gave us an eternal destination. He gave us a home. And we could say the Holy Spirit, and I all agree with that. But what are the greatest earthly gifts that he gave you until you get to heaven? And again, yes, we have the Holy Spirit, but it is our free will. God gave you a free will, and he reveals himself to you in his creation. And then you have a free will if you're going to choose him or not. The ability to choose is wonderful. And every person will end up in his eternal destination, exactly where he or she chooses to be. That's as fair as it can be. To give you the dignity of freedom, and then to take away your freedom and your free will would be completely unfair, wouldn't it? It'd be unjust. But God gives you the ability to choose where you're going to spend eternity, and the freedom to choose whether you're going to love him or you're not going to love him. Because the challenges are with your life is that you either want to kind of put all the good things in there and have the control yourself, or these bad things keep beating you up. And what you don't realize is that God wants to take both of them. I got this really cool, like, arch kind of piece here. Now, I tried to make it as big as I could so that you could see it there. And what God wants to do is, it's the same as our sin, right? We say, we have sin in our lives. It's bad. It's not good. And so Jesus is going to be the bridge so that we can get to heaven. We can have relationship with him. So that's a spiritual thing. That's for, you know, down the road. I get that. But here on earth, it's the same thing. All these bad things that we have, and we try and live our lives, Jesus actually wants to bridge that so you can be free on heaven and free on earth as well. Sorry, free here as you walk out your days. Because without that, you cannot be free. You can try and control it as much as you want, but you'll never have the complete control unless you give it all to Jesus and you can be free. And God can then use these experiences that you think are bad to help others. He can actually take it away from your mind. There's people that I know that me personally, you're thinking, I can't stop thinking about those things that have happened in my life. I can't seem to get free of them. And God says, I want to use that to bridge the gap here on earth and in heaven. Isn't that wonderful news? Oh, thank you, Jesus. So let's get back to the actual story that we were going to read. In Luke chapter 24, we'll read verse 1 to 11 together. We did read some of it already today, but I want to just expand on a couple thoughts here. So here we go. On the first day of the week, early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they had entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed with lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the woman bowed down with her faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead?" That's why we're here. "He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men. He crucified to be crucified on the third day and raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told these things to the 11 and all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Jonah, Mary, the mother of James, and the others with them who told them or told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to be like nonsense. I love this story because it's real. There's real people in there with real concerns and real confusion. Let me kind of just start dissecting this a little bit. It's quite an amazing few days from Good Friday to Easter for Jesus. But Jesus knows what's going to happen. Remember, he prays to God, say, "God, take this cup away from me. I don't want it." The disciples and everybody else are confused. They're full of fear. That's you and I. So let's look at those people and through their eyes to see what that looks like. These reactions just seem so realistic because we've been celebrating this thing for like over 2,000 years. We think back to this is the very first Easter. So this is the very first Easter service in a sense that we see. How are the people responding to this message? And I know when I heard this message for many years before I was, you know, truly gave my heart to the Lord, I think, this message is confusing. I don't know why Jesus would do that. How does that even affect my life? What does it matter? Why does it really matter? So here's what we want to look at. So we see the crucifixion. All the crowds ran away. The dust settles now. There's this dead person in a tomb. For this story to make sense for us, we would expect to see things like this. If I was to read this, if I'm the writer, I'm going to make the apostles look great, the disciples look great, these women look great. I'm not going to make them look confused or, you know, the angels had to explain to the ladies, the women, remember what he said. Because they had already forgotten. After 3 years of teaching, they had already forgotten the things that Jesus had told them. They're frightened, they're confused. The closest friends to Jesus were completely bewildered. And then you think that in their minds that that story is over now, right? Jesus is dead. He's in the tomb. Check box. Well, let's go through another prophet that they've gone through or seen. Maybe Elijah will come back. Maybe somebody else will come back because this obviously wasn't the Messiah. He died. Game over. You know, now they're going back to fishing. They're going back to their lives. That's just a real story because that's what really we experience sometimes. We go through hardships. We go back. We go away from the Lord. We go back to things that we feel comfortable with. We go back to the things that are good in our lives, we think. But these women even went, as they went to the tomb, they weren't rejoicing. Oh, Jesus, I remember what he said. He's going to raise to life in a couple of days. They're bringing spices because they're going to prepare his body because he's dead. They're not thinking he's coming back to life. They're thinking, game over. This thing is done. These women, again, they're terrified when they see angels. They're terrified when Jesus' body is in there. They're confused. And when they go and tell the disciples, these wonderful ladies, they go back, "Guys, the tomb's open. Where's Jesus? He's risen from the dead." And the guys are like, "This makes no sense." These women are like, they're high or something, right? Just out of control. Like, be quiet. We're not going to believe that. That's the real life. That's the real unpredictableness of life. We just don't know. You know, we walk into a situation, we think, this should be the result. Guys, on the cross, he's died. He's in the tomb. Well, let's go find his body. Life happens that just seems out of control to us. And we think, though, here's the response to it. But we're just so unaware because we're not in control. Put yourself in their shoes. You know, they reacted so crazily. They thought, we're following this charismatic carpenter. He's doing all these cool things, right? He's healing people and miracles. And then he trains us up and he sends us out to heal people and cast out demons. And all of a sudden, we're like, what is going on here is now dead. And so in our lives too, we go around, we think, I got Jesus, I got the good brick of Jesus in my life. I'm going around doing all these good things. And all of a sudden, something unpredictable happens. And we're like, what happened, Lord? And it doesn't seem to add up or make sense. Those people of the day obviously thought historically that Jesus was going to come. He was going to whoop the Roman soldiers and set up an earthly kingdom, and they were going to sit at his right and at his left. And that's the way I would think too, right? I got Jesus in my life now. It's all going to be wonderful here on earth. We're going to have just everything's going to be perfect in my life. There's going to be no hang-ups, no confusion. And then we find, you know, this guy that we believed in, this guy that we trusted, was crucified. He went through this trial. He got slapped around. He was executed, you know, on the cross, and then we see him dead. We're thinking, what just happened? It's really unexpected, right? We're thinking, if you were there, the very first one, we have the story. We always know how it pans out. But in your life, you don't have the full story, do you? You don't know what tomorrow brings. You don't know what next year brings. But later on, like this story, we'll be able to look back at the story and go, look at the hand of God in that. Look at how God orchestrated all that. It looked unpredictable and crazy as I lived it, but I could sure see it now, how he set me free. He protected me from all these things along the way. And so we see it just confusingly. We're thinking, what are these angels? Where is this tomb? We're shocked. It doesn't seem right. Now, these women are hysterical. You know, I can imagine these women come back. Oh my gosh, you know, this thing happened, and, you know, Jesus in the tomb, and like, what is going on? Get these people out of here. You know, it's just ridiculous. They're confusing me. I don't even know what they're trying to say. Slow down and breathe. You know, they probably were running. They were exhausted. Jesus. You know, you're just, and it was like confusing. You're thinking, what just is going on here? There's too many loose ends. It doesn't seem to add up, this Easter story. But when we see it written this way, I feel like it's the most believable, because it's full of fear and concern and confusion, and Jesus heals all of that. If I was to open this thing and everybody was just perfect, and it was all like, everything was like great, and no one was ever fearful, and all that kind of stuff, how could I ever believe that? Because I don't live like that. I live in the real world, sorry. That doesn't make sense. But when I read it like this, I realize they lived in the real world. And they were scared, and they were fearful, and it was confusing. And then we can have trust in that, that God can use that, and he can use those kind of people. And that's why I thank God for that. That's real life. That's a real story. Let me kind of have some fun now, because I just like Jesus. He's just a kind of a fun guy. He does some cool things that you're like, oh, that'd be kind of fun to do, you know, kind of freak some people out. But here we go. So Luke chapter 24, we're still in the same chapter. We'll skip down to verse 36. It says, while they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, peace be with you. They were startled and frightened. I would be too. You're supposed to be dead. What are you doing here? Thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, why are you troubled? And why is there doubts in your mind? Look at my hands and my feet. There's holes in them. Look at this. I mean, Jesus is just having a hysterical moment here. It is me, I myself. Touch me and see me. A ghost doesn't have flesh and bones as I have. You know, they're hanging out. They're just confused. Jesus, what the heck's going on, Jesus? And, you know, thinking, are we hallucinating? Or is there something in this water? Like, what's going on here? Jesus is there just having fun with them, right? Look at me. You know, look at, touch and feel me. I love that. Again, the guys, they were freaked out. You know, what is Jesus doing here? And then, touch me and feel me. I'm real. I'm here. You can have relationship with me. I'm not a ghost. I'm not just going to run away. I'm going to stay with you through this. When you're afraid, these people were afraid. They were scared. They thought the Roman authority was going to come and kill them. They're hiding. And Jesus shows up in that moment. There are times in your life when you're afraid. There are times in your life when you're hiding. There are times when Jesus shows up and he freaks you out. Oh, Jesus is here. Thank God he's here. Thank God he came and found me. Thank God he's going to set me free. Isn't that wonderful? If we kind of remain unmoved by this understanding of God's word and his teaching, really this story doesn't mean anything then. It's just unbelievable. It wouldn't make sense to us. And how would the world outside of these walls understand the good news if we don't experience and know Jesus inside? We haven't seen him. We haven't experienced him. Because we live with hope. And I think that in this world, there's a lot of hopelessness going around. Let me kind of say it this way. In the difficult and often confusing world in which we live today, hope for many people is something that seems really in short supply. You know, coming out of all these things that we've experienced, it just seems almost hopeless sometimes. In fact, I'd probably go as far as to say that the world of pain and grief and sorrow and complex family relationships and all the problems we face at work and all these hardships and sadnesses and loneliness and depression, hope for many people has honestly died a long time ago. Maybe even before COVID. And I just want to say that we can have hope. We can have freedom. I want you to think about this historically. If this wasn't true, if this actually didn't change anything, why would there still be churches today? If this story was just a hoax and for some fun and some kicks, it wouldn't have survived historically. It would have died out like anything else. Trendy, culturally, goes through motions. It would die off. But millions and millions, hundreds of millions of people have read that, and it's changed their life. And that's the good news. That's the testimony that you and I can have faith in, that I can actually have hope. There's actually freedom. I can actually live my life out, even though I have all this red stuff. No, you're bad. Get out of here. But you can actually live beyond that. You can be free from that. God can still use you. You're not done. There is hope in Jesus' name. That's the story, that Jesus didn't just lay there and it all just came to pot and it all got closed in and the tomb got rolled over him. He actually came out of it. He came out of that experience. And you and I need to come out of our experience. Put all that stuff aside and say, I believe in Jesus. I have hope in Jesus. And the rest will sort itself out. Amen? Let me close in a prayer. Father, what a rejoicing time to celebrate together, remembering that the grave couldn't hold you back, that nothing of any kind of red blocks or any kind of negative or any kind of, you know, emotional concerns can hold you back. And you were freed from that. So, Father, thank you, thank you, thank you. God, we need that. We need help. We need hope. We need to be set free from all the things that bring us down, that the enemy, I mean, we know the enemy is there throwing them out, but we throw things at ourselves as well. Would you set us free from all of that? Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the authority of your word. Thank you that as we read it, it just becomes more and more real, more and more applicable to our lives. And I pray that we would be changed today in Jesus' name, that something would resonate deep inside of our souls, that we just wouldn't be the same anymore in Jesus' name. Father, I just pray for all those thoughts that come in our minds, all those memories that plague us and distract us. I pray in Jesus' name that they would come down. I pray that they would be deleted. I pray that they would be cut off in Jesus' name. And Father, the areas of our heart that we haven't opened ourselves up to you, I pray that that tomb wouldn't just be rolled away. I pray that it'd be hunked, it'd explode in Jesus. It would just burst open. And so we could just see you in a new way. Without any walls or without any barriers, we would just see a living God. In Jesus' name, amen.